Welcome to Press A to Play, an exploration of video game music from Northwest Public Broadcasting. Together, we're going on a journey through the world of video game music, which has grown from the beeps and boops of chiptunes in the 80s to the fully orchestrated cinematic soundtracks of today. Get ready to play. Let's press A. I'm Anjali Dodia. I've been playing video games for only a few years.
I'm Devin Gay. I've been playing games for over 30 years.
And I'm Connor Henriksen. I've been playing video games for about 15 years, but I take them too seriously.
Oh, Connor, no such thing.
In this episode, we're going to be looking at games and soundtracks made by indie developers based in the Northwest and British Columbia.
And indie is a fuzzy line, but we're basically talking small teams, developers not connected to big studios, and one-man armies who make a game all by themselves. We'll be looking at developers in Portland, Tacoma, Vancouver, BC, and Spokane.
All right, let's begin in Spokane with the soundtrack to Myst, developed by Cyan Inc. Speaking of one-man armies, Robin Miller made the soundtrack and performed and recorded it as well. This is the main theme from Myst.
That really does set the mood, doesn't it? It puts you in mind to be stranded on a mysterious island covered in abandoned buildings, left to explore and investigate these remnants of lost civilizations and discover all these mysterious technological and magical devices that all seem to connect together like an island-sized puzzle box that has to be solved for you to escape.
And not very easy puzzles either. We all have fond, if not successful, memories of playing this game as kids. Most of the time just fumbling around on that first island, not solving any of the puzzles. We all got a heaping dose of that main theme.
I was also one of those kids that never got past the first level.
Yeah, same here. I actually remember playing the game for the first time in the third grade. It was just a few minutes here and there before class started or during recess. I had no idea what I was doing, but the mystery of it all was so alluring.
Now, you mentioned that the theme music sets the mood. What I find fascinating now is finding out that at first this game didn't even have a soundtrack. Robin and his brother Rand thought it would distract from the gameplay. But after a few tests, they realized that music would actually help enhance the experience and match the mood of the locations that each player was experiencing. Otherwise, it would almost be like watching a thriller movie without sound.
Thank you.
And there you heard The Last Message by Robin Miller, created for the game Myst.
You know, you don't see a lot of game developers in Eastern Washington, and I really love that Cyan is still there making games 30 years later. Actually, not too long ago, they released a full remake of Myst that you can even play in VR.
It's kind of amazing to see such a foundational game of the 90s reinvigorated and made new again with today's tech.
So the next generation can be stumped by the same puzzles we were.
And hopefully get some encouragement from the music and ever calm presence in the face of increasingly convoluted challenges.
A calm one, or lending that sense of urgency to solve the puzzle. That's a bit of what I hear in this next selection. From that Myst soundtrack created by Robin Miller, this is Akinar's theme from the Mechanical Age. Akinar's theme, The Mechanical Age, from the Myst original soundtrack, created by Robin Miller and Cyan Inc., based in Spokane. This is Press A to Play, the exploration of video game music. I'm Anjali Dodia.
I'm Connor Henriksen.
And I'm Devin Gay.
And in this episode, we're focused on the music made by indie developers based in the Northwest and British Columbia. Well, from Cyan in Spokane, we move on now to Fulbright in Portland and their game, Gone Home. That was Dedication, created by Chris Remo for the game Gone Home from Fulbright.
So in Gone Home, a young woman named Katie has just gotten back from a very long trip overseas, and she finds her family home completely deserted. Everyone's gone. The only thing you can do is explore your old house to try and figure out where they went.
You'll find notes and journal entries from your family that tell you why everyone left, what caused your family to basically break up and scatter to the winds. And maybe you'll find, say, a key to a locked door that lets you access a new part of the house where you can find more clues and more parts of the story. And that's the entire game, just learning about the life of this family through the eyes of a family member who's just recently returned to what was once home.
So this is music that you would hear as Katie returns home to find this mystery of her missing family. This is The House, Part 1. And that was The House Part 1, created by Chris Remo for Gone Home, created by Fulbright in Portland.
So this is a genre of game that has kind of exploded in recent years. It's an exploration game, known more colloquially as a walking simulator. That term was actually a little bit derogatory at first, because a lot of gamers were complaining that literally all you do in these games is walk around. There's no fighting, there's no puzzles. In these kinds of games, all you're doing is taking in the environment.
But taking a walk can be really nice. The music plays a really big part in the game, creating an atmosphere that you wander around in.
And I have to say, this is the kind of game that I personally am really drawn to. Sure, it might be divisive, but it's so satisfying to play because, as you said, the music helps create this world that you're just inhabiting.
And that's exactly it. Whether you agree that something like this should even be called a video game, it does this thing that I love, that video games do really well, which is to create a world that you can immerse yourself in, a world that tells you a story.
So now for a change of pace from the slow, atmospheric music of Gone Home. Here now is something that's more of a driving force for the action of the game, from Celeste, created by Maddie Makes Games in Vancouver. This is First Steps. Thank you. Lena Raine was the composer and creator of First Steps from Celeste, made by Maddie Thorson's development studio, Maddie Makes Games, in Vancouver. Although since 2021, that company has been renamed to Extremely OK Games.
I like that title. So this song, it plays just after the prologue, where you've set out to climb the mountain and already you've had your first brush with death. And that's just left you more determined than ever. The music in this game, it drives you forward. It pushes you to succeed. You gotta climb this mountain. And how are you gonna do it? Jumping, dashing, a lot of failing.
Yep. Think old school Super Mario with the difficulty cranked up to 11. Even visually, the game has this super chunky pixelated style like games from the 80s. Of course, a lot of games back then were also super hard because they wanted to eat your quarters.
The music's got a pretty old school feel to it as well, mixing chip tunes and synths with a more traditional sounding piano.
This is a game that has meant a lot to a lot of people. Can you tell us a little bit about why, Devin?
So Celeste is all about overcoming personal challenges. Your character, Madeline, is climbing Celeste Mountain really just to prove to herself that she can. And in the process, she's working through all this internal conflict, all these feelings of self-doubt and identity issues. You see Madeline at some of her lowest points and all that fear and doubt turning her into her own worst enemy. Literally, because a little ways in, Madeline's own self-loathing manifests as an evil doppelganger who's trying to stop her, lovingly nicknamed Badaline.
That was Scattered and Lost, composed and created by Lena Raine for the game Celeste, developed by Maddie Thorson and her development studio in Vancouver.
So that song plays in a haunted hotel a little ways up the mountain where Madeline clashes with the ghost of the innkeeper, egged on by Madeline. I think that was the first really tough challenge for me, one of the places where I really started to relate to Madeline, because I remember getting stuck trying the same thing over and over again and feeling like I was banging my head against a wall, but I kept trying, and I realized I was getting a little better each time.
And then when you do overcome a challenge like that, after giving it, you know, 20, 30, 40 tries, it's really rewarding. It feels really good to finally overcome one of these big hurdles.
And also empowering. I think a lot of the community around Celeste would agree. A lot of people who maybe didn't think they were capable of playing a really difficult game like this actually really enjoyed the challenge and the message that came along with it.
Empowering is a good way to put it. I like that we're starting to see that trend as the main reason for a game.
And this is a bit of a departure from some of the other games where the music is the world around you. In Celeste, the music feels like a version of Madeline's internal monologue. She wants to get up this mountain despite her own fears that she might not have what it takes. And the music might reflect that fear, but it also never stops pushing you forward. What's playing in your headphones is the same thing that's going through her head.
Oh, and that's especially true of the song we're about to listen to. You hear this song during your most triumphant moment. You've overcome all your biggest obstacles, you've made peace with Madeline and all the negative feelings she represents, and the summit of the mountain is within reach. This is the last big push to victory. Reach for the summit.
There's a theme that I notice a lot when we talk about video games, and that's a sense of community. People are bonding over the games they play together.
Absolutely. One of the things people bond over is stories. We tell stories to each other. We tell stories to ourselves. We tell true stories. We tell fiction and tall tales. And video games are great for telling stories. This next game we're going to talk about, it's infamous for the stories people tell about it. It's called Dwarf Fortress.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I know Dwarf Fortress. I spent years playing Dwarf Fortress. I lost hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours to that game.
Thousands? Okay, I'm intrigued. What's it about?
It's a game about dwarves who build fortresses. Okay, there's more to it than that.
In Dwarf Fortress, you loosely direct a colony of dwarves who have set out to build a new home. These are pretty traditional fantasy dwarves. They dig mines, they build homes in mountains, they love gold and drinking, they die in horrific accidents, and they have a strong rivalry with elves.
Crazy thing is, though, the world you play in is made from scratch when you start a new game. And I don't just mean the map, I mean the lore, the history, the people. Civilizations with rivalries and wars, mythical creatures and the heroes who slay them, stories. All of this happens before you even really start the game, just to give you a unique and interesting world to play in.
And then you take your little band of dwarves and you try to help them build their own little civilization in this world. And sooner or later, you learn the motto of the game. Losing is fun, because odds are you're going to fail miserably and hilariously and violently. Maybe you accidentally mine into a dormant volcano and flood your home with magma. Maybe you chop down too many trees and the elves get mad and declare war on you. Or maybe you just dig too deep and awaken some ancient eldritch horror beneath the Earth's crust.
But whatever happens, your dwarves and their fortress have become a part of the story, a continuation of the history that the game started.
Thank you.
That was Strike the Earth, composed by Omar Dabus, known as Dabu, and Simon Swerver for the Steam version of Dwarf Fortress. Steam version, what's that about?
Well, Dwarf Fortress was originally free. It still is, actually, almost 20 years after the first version came out. Tarn Adams and his brother Zach have been steadily working on the game since the early 2000s, making improvements, adding new features, and for most of that time, the game's only real financial support has been donations. People loved the game, a whole community built up around it.
Until recently, it's been just the two of them, but they've got family to support, they've got rising healthcare costs, so a couple years ago, they announced that they would release a paid version of the game. The basic version would always be free, and that would always be Tarn and Zach's main focus. But this paid version, it'd have better graphics, a new soundtrack, and some other additional features, all added to the game with help from others. Their community responded by making Dwarf Fortress one of the best-selling games on Steam. Someone on their public forums asked if all those people who've been playing Dwarf Fortress for free all these years were just waiting for an opportunity to pay $30 for it. And over 3,000 people just replied, yes.
Oh, that is pretty impressive. And you said the soundtrack is new. Did the game have music before the Steam version?
It did. Nothing too extravagant, though. Just a pair of flamenco guitar tracks written and performed by Tarn Adams himself.
And one of the composers for the new soundtrack, Simon Swerver, had already written music inspired by the game before he was asked to work on the official soundtrack. This next song is a fun one. It includes lyrics sung in the Dwarvish language and sounds a bit like something that would play in a fantasy tavern.
Absolutely. This is Drink and Industry. That was Drink and Industry from Dwarf Fortress, the music composed by Omar Dabus, or Dabu, and Simon Swerver.
So we've climbed mountains and hollowed them out. Now let's unchain ourselves from the Earth's limitations and head for the stars.
Yes, Risk of Rain 2 from Hopu Games. It's one of my favorites. The first game in the series was created by Duncan Drummond and Paul Morse when they were students at the University of Washington. One playthrough isn't long, but it has endless replayability. Basically, you land on a planet searching for the previous explorers who went missing, only to find out that all the fauna are hostile. They all seem to be united in the cause of killing anything that invades their home. So you've got to fight your way back off the planet.
Along the way, you'll encounter bipedal, fire-breathing lizards, gigantic flying electric jellyfish, and a very angry man with a very large hammer.
All that fighting and discovering of strange biomes and wildlife is backed by a fantastic soundtrack full of spacey instrumental prog rock. Composer Chris Christodoulou threw everything he had at these songs.
The searing synths and the grandiose electric guitars really help boost the intensity of an already exciting game. This piece starts out with some of the calm before the storm, but we quickly get to that more explosive sound.
So here is Con Lentitud Poderosa, which translates to with powerful slowness, from Risk of Rain 2.
That was Con Lentitud Poderosa with Powerful Slowness, composed by Chris Christodoulou for Risk of Rain 2 by Hopu Games. Man, I love that game.
And speaking of games we love, the last game we'd like to look at today is something all three of us have played for far, far too many hours. We'd like to share with you the music from Stardew Valley.
Oh, I love that game. I've played so many hours of it.
Yeah, too many hours is not possible. This game is a modern classic.
Absolutely. So we'll end with the overture from Stardew Valley by Concerned Ape. Press A to Play is a production of Northwest Public Broadcasting. Research and editing by Lyric Kano. Original theme music by Austin Schlichting. You can find out more at nwpb.org/press A. I'm Anjali Dodia.
I'm Devin Gay.
And I'm Connor Henriksen.
And remember, losing is fun.